Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Duchess.
Hosted by Duchess.
Yes.
Hi, family. This is a new system I'm trying to get used to, and it's very interesting because I don't have to dial in. I just click a little button on my studio screen, my monitor, and all of you just pop up. I mean, it's really amazing. I'm loving this. So how's everyone been doing out there? I hope all of you are getting your COVID shots. A lot of people are very skeptical about doing that, and that's okay. I mean, I have my skepticism also. I think that's a good word to use. I'm skeptical also. So, but I decided that rather than be so skeptical, you know what I mean, I'd rather just go ahead and get the shot and then roam around as safely and as positively as I'm believing that I can do. This is the month of May, and the last time I was able to hug my grandchildren was in 2019 sometime, So I'd really like to go visit my son up in Winchester, go to his apartment, go to his house and sit outside and barbecue with them and not really concern myself with the fact that I might get some type of virus that makes me so ill that I wind up in the hospital suffering. I know what it's like to get a bout of bronchitis or a real bad cold and not be able to breathe and huff and puff coming up the stairs because I've got bronchitis. And if it's anything near that, I'm sure it's more than that. I know I don't want to be in a situation where I'm struggling for my life through my breath. And so I decided to get my vaccine. I got Moderna. I got it, my second shot, this past Monday, and I had a couple of side effects, but you see, we're going to talk about some illusions today on the show, and it dawned on me that one of the illusions of the side effects of getting this vaccine is the illusion that the vaccine is making you sick. You know, and so people were really concerned about the fact that that vaccine is going to make them sick. What's happening, and I realized that I'm a very healthy person, and I don't get sick. Let me knock on wood. I don't get sick with little stuff like the flu or a cold or, you know, those kinds of things because I really pump up my immune system, and I drink a detoxing tea 24/7. It's part of my, it's very, very extremely diluted, so I can take one tea bag and make approximately, 80 ounces of tea, and I use that as my drinking water throughout the day. So my body stays pretty cleansed, and so when I got my first shot of Moderna, it didn't do very much, nothing. Didn't bother me at all. When I got the second shot, I immediately started dragging, and I took a couple of acetaminophen, brand name Tylenol. I took some Tylenol, and I felt pretty okay. But the next day, that Tuesday, I got a low-grade temperature of 100.3, and so I monitored my temperature very closely and watched, you know, to see if it was going to go any higher, but it didn't. It started slowly coming down. The that Wednesday, I slept all day. I came back in around noon, And I just took off my clothes and went to bed. And that's the way I, and I don't sleep in the middle of the day because I don't like losing my daylight hours. That Thursday, same thing almost. I went to the dentist and came back home and fell asleep. You know, you go to sleep at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, fall asleep, and you wake up, it's 5 o'clock in the evening. That's just not like me. And, but what I began to realize, rather than think that the vaccine was making me sick, what I did was shift my brain and said, oh, I know what's happening. My immune system is kicking butt and doesn't like the fact that something is in me. And once I put that thought in my mind, I no longer had, when you say, a concern about what the vaccine was doing to me. I began to realize how healthy I am, and it was my body locking forces to fight whatever was coming inside me. That made me pretty happy about my body. My body's on the money, you know? And I mean, my body did a grand finale on Friday because it purged everything out of me in the bathroom Friday, okay? And by yesterday, I was feeling great. And I'm still feeling pretty great. Matter of fact, I had a surprise visit today. My daughter popped in here from North Carolina, and that was a very sweet surprise. And we spent a couple of hours together on the balcony. She's had her two shots, Moderna. We both have these itchy shoulders because, you know, the shoulder is still sore. Still a little sore, a little tender there. But it's on the mend. And one of my friends did tell me that I was climbing up the Rocky Mountain and I was just about to reach the peak and start coming down on the other side. And that's basically what has been happening. The last show... Oh, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to Yahura. Y'all might remember you. Some of you might remember her because she used to be a co-host with me here on Inside Matters Talk. And Yahura sent Inside Matters a love gift. And I thought that was really, really beautiful. That was amazing, you know, because I have let others know that as far as my budget is concerned, sometimes it's really difficult to pull that out of because I'm not working now. Remember, I retired. So I'm living comfortably, but I'm living comfortably on my shoestring and everything else outside of the immediate things that I need or I think I need to live on is, you know, it packs the budget. So, Yahura, I personally want to thank you. Duchess is thanking you with my whole heart for the love gift that you sent. And if anyone else should like to send a love gift to the show, you can send it to Duchess on the Air, care of the last name, M-A-D-Y-U-N as in Nancy, P.O. Box, 4220 Leesburg, that's one word, L-E-E-S-B-U-R-G, Virginia, 20177. And I want you to know that it will be a blessing. Thank you so much, Yahura, for your kindness and your thoughtfulness. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to talk about, I've been doing a series called Masters in the New Energy. And today we're going to talk about life as an illusion. And it just dawned on me that I spelled illusion wrong. So I'm going to have to correct that as soon as the show is over. I'm going to have to go to my title page and correct it. I don't know how I spelled illusion with an I, illusion. That's like, whoa. But I just noticed that. But it will be corrected. I want to let you know that the master understands that life, all of life is an illusion. And this is what's written by Adamus St. Germain in the book Masters in the New Energy, where I'm taking a lot of my titles for the show out of the book that Adamus St. Germain, he's the author of. Adamus is channeled by Jeffrey Hoppe from the Crimson Circle. So if you want to buy your own book, The Masters in the New Energy, you can go to their website, crimsoncircle.com. And I'm noticing that many of the masters, they talk about this illusion that we live in because we have forgotten who we really are. And who we are aspects of the Creator in human form. So when you think in terms of there's only one in the room you are sitting in. There is only one in the whole world universe, because as the Creator, being within you, out of you, Deepak Chopra says that our bodies are these big fat meatballs that the Creator, this is the Creator in drag. This is how the Creator does things and plays with things and, you know, with itself through each one of us. So there is only one. There's only one Creator. There's only one God. And all things in our reality is of the Creator's making. So it's really hard to get your head wrapped around that, but there is no one here but whoever you are. You are the only one here, and you're having a conversation with yourself. I'm an aspect of the Creator, you're an aspect of the Creator, and you're listening to the Creator through whatever sound means you're listening to the Creator, and the Creator is you listening to itself, talk to itself. Having this dialogue, it's really, really cool. Wouldn't you really want to think about it? You know, just imagine you saying that I'm going to create little aspects of myself all around this room, and I'm just going to have this dialogue with me, and I know that it's only me talking to me. It's so cool. But Neil Donald Walsh, he's the author of the Conversations with God series, and I read that book almost 20 years ago, and I started reading book one and then jumped to book three and then went to book two. And then he's done Communion with God, and he's done other books like When Everything Changes, Change Everything. And I just gave a person who is grieving a loss, and she can't get over this grief that she's having, I took her my book. When Everything Changes, Change Everything, and the book talks to you, because the way Neil Donald Walsh writes, it's him speaking to himself. So he's speaking to you as you are reading your words that he has written in the book. It's really cool the way he conveys things to people, because when you pick up the book, you feel as though the book was written by you, and you're having a dialogue with yourself. I went to his e-retreat. Those are your internet and your virtual retreats online, and I went to an e-retreat. I believe he had about 145, 150 participants or people there for the retreat. And you're able to go on a sliding scale. His next retreat will be the 22nd and the 23rd of this month. And you can go to CWG, Conversations with God, Connect with Neil Donald Walsh. And they have a sliding scale. So you can either apply for a scholarship for zero the amount, on up to the full amount, which is $120. So he goes in increments of 10% of that $120, you know, 20% of that $120. So it's a sliding scale so that he can meet your income level, okay? And it was fascinating going to this e-treat. And so I thought it would be great because the Masters in the New Energy, Adamus Saint Germain, speaks briefly of illusions. But Neil Donald Walsh says in his book, Communion with God, that there are 10 illusions. He says we live in a world of illusion, and this world is actually a manifestation of our beliefs. Our beliefs, our desires, and our choices. We are constantly creating our own reality. We talk about that a lot. But we might want to realize that it only takes a shift in thought to cause a change. Okay? So in his book, Communion with God, he basically says that, you know, the Ten Commandments were not necessarily needed. What the human beings need to remember that they were given, there are 10 illusions. And one illusion that humans are, seeing, these illusions build on top of one another. The one illusion creates the next illusion, and those two illusions create the third illusion. So we're going to go through some of those and see what we can do to open up ourselves. One of the things I liked about him was that he said, we teach what we have to learn. Okay? And I noticed that about myself, that a lot of the things that I talk about these things because not only do I want to learn them, but I want to make them solid. I want to solidify them into my way of being, into my lifestyle. I don't want to just read words and speak words to everyone. I want to live the words that I speak. I want to live in that reality. I want to walk in that gratitude and in that knowledge and in that knowing. He was saying that we need to be the source. When you decide you are the source, you will realize you already have what you are seeking. There is only one of us. That's one of us. That's the Creator in many different aspects and forms. Only one. All things are one thing. The first illusion, maybe I should tell you what all three of them are right off the bat, in case we run out of time, because I'm running my mouth today. First illusion one, that's the illusion of need. Two, that failure exists. Three, that separation exists. Four, insufficiency exists. Five, that requirement exists. Six, judgment exists. Seven, condemnation. Eight, that conditionality exists. You know, conditions. Nine, superiority. And 10, that ignorance exists. Now, every single one of those illusions that I mentioned, I'm sure you said, yeah, well, this, how can that be an illusion? Need. But we are spiritual beings, or a soul. We are a soul, which is an individuation of the Creator. Each one of us is an aspect of the Creator or the Divine. And once we realize we are a spirit or oneness with the Creator, we realize we need nothing. We don't need clothes. We don't need food. We don't need air. We don't need housing. We only need things as long as we choose to live in this physical form. We shift to desire. The soul seeks to know and express its own divinity. So every moment we are in existence, we are shifting here, there, back and forth. You know, we came to face, to this face of the earth. Why did we come? For what did we come? We came to the face of this earth to demonstrate, express, and experience who we really are. So, we'll think about the Ten Commandments, and most of us have heard of them. No matter what our religion is, or was, or has been, or what affiliation, you know, we were a part of. But does someone have to tell anyone that they thou shall not kill? When somebody kills somebody, they know that they shouldn't, they didn't feel good about it. You know, thou shall not lie, steal, cheat, covet thy neighbor's belongings and all of that. You know it's not yours. But what we need to adhere to, what we need to come to realize, and what we need to practice is knocking down these illusions. Okay, so let's talk about the first illusion, that need exists. Okay? Do we need stuff? Neil Donald Walsh says, is this who we choose to be? Perfection does not like correction. We can't condemn ourselves. Correction is not the direction of perfection. Neither is rejection. We can choose another way. We can always choose another way. We can choose again another way in our next grandest moment. So when I was sick this whole week, you know, and I thought, oh my God, what did that vaccine do to me? As soon as I shifted my thought, shifted to the fact that the vaccine didn't do anything to me. It's my body that's kicking butt. My body is the one that's fighting off this thing that's going on inside of me. Okay? So the worst thing in my life can always turn out to be the best thing in my life. A lot of times when we're going through a challenge or a struggle, you know, and we're miserable, we want to scream, shout, cry, and do all kinds of crazy things. When it's all over, a year later, we look back on that and we say, Dad, you know what? That's the best thing that could have happened to me. The very best thing. Once we are able to remember these things, once we realize certain things, once we choose again another way in our next grandest moment, this is the way the masters think. This is the difference between a master and a student. And that difference is that the master knows this ahead of time, that these are the illusions that we see. So, did I say we're going to talk about the first illusion? The first illusion is the illusion of need. We don't need anything. We imagine that need exists because we imagine this because we would need them. I need some water. My mouth is getting all dry and sticking up. That's another little side effect here. I'm very thirsty. Because we imagine this, we imagine a God who needs. You know, God needs this and God needs that. But Neil is saying no such God exists in the universe, but we think that one does, and that our God is that God. The idea that need exists is a fascinating thought, but it has nothing to do with the ultimate reality. So, given this truth, it is not possible for that which is to need anything, nothing at all. It has everything it could possibly need because it is everything it could possibly have. The idea that need exists is an illusion. And the idea that God needs something is likewise not only an illusion, But a strange one is that. For if God is God, as we understand our Creator to be, the right thought of God needing something is crazy on the surface of it. It is illogical in the extreme unless our definition and understanding of God is incorrect. Now, the idea that God needs nothing is not a small thought. It punctures hole in a mile-wide way in virtually every major theology. So when we start thinking that the Creator needs something, you know, who are we talking about? Are we for real? What are we thinking about? We have to regroup ourselves with that one. So, like it says, it punches holes a mile wide in a virtually every major theology on the planet. Because if God does not need anything, then God is in want of nothing. And a God who wants nothing has been impossible for our earthly religions to imagine. Yet, we have to remember the true nature of our deity. God wants and needs nothing. This changes everything from the Ten Commandments on down, as even the casual student of theology must realize that the Creator needs nothing. So, if that's the first illusion that God needs, we move into the second illusion. The illusion of failure. Okay? So we would, like, say, for instance, failure exists because need exists. If we don't need to succeed, then there can be no failure that we have committed. How can we fail if we don't need anything? Every step we take in our life leads us to the next journey. No matter how challenging or horrific, that is the perspective of our spiritual lives. Now, we talk about most people are sleepwalking, or most people are unconscious, but I notice on the news these days, they're talking about, they use the word woke up a lot, or awoke. And I'm like, well, wow, you know, they're using this as a negative, but they don't realize how positive that saying is. And the more you keep saying that certain people are woke because they're doing the things that they're doing, and the things that they're doing are for all mankind or for the masses, and you're saying that they're woke and you want to use it as a negative, well, you know, keep on using the word. Because eventually there's going to be critical mass and things are just going to flip and everybody's going to be woke, you know? So, Neil says, ask a question. What does this have to do with the agenda of our soul? You can ask this question and your soul will immediately give you the answer. When you do and act a different way, you will take a different direction. Now, billions of people reject the concept of God because they think about that hell thing, you know. Almost all of the religions, most of the religions, and let's see, Neil put down 4,300 religions. Those are the major ones, believe in the reward and punishment of a deity. You know, God is a reward God or a punishing God. If you don't do this, if you don't do that, well, you know, God's going to punish you. There is nothing we should be doing and never should on ourselves, like saying I should do this and no shitting on me. You know, saying, you might be able to say I have a calling. I have a calling to do this and I have a calling to do that, but don't start shitting all over yourself. Okay? Then you set an intention that life reveals more on your path. When you say, I have a calling for this, don't say, I have this book I've been saying for a long time. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. And when I listened to Neil's workshop or his retreat last week, you know, I started saying to myself, I have a calling to do this. This is my calling. And once I use the word calling, life reveals more of the path or the journey begins to unfold for us. Let's talk about the illusion of separation. Well, let me say some more on the illusion of failure. Failure does not exist, and there are only experiences in life that we call failure based on judgments we have made, as well as deep misunderstandings we have held about just exactly who we are. So if you imagine yourself to be an aspect of the Creator, then everything you are creating is perfect and without flaw, failure, or need, because you created it. The simple act of creation makes it perfect. With the absence of need comes the absence of failure. This is something that is not generally understood. Human society has a difficult time wrapping itself around this concept. You see, those humans who have embraced it fully have become masters that if there is no need, there can be no failure. All right? Let's talk about this next illusion, the third illusion. Let's talk about separation. Oh, separation. The illusion of separation. The individual psyche causes us to fall or feel separate. A separation of psychology creates a separation of sociology. Once we see this as an illusion, we will begin to have a tendency to change our own life. It's so powerful. It creates. Well, we're not going to tell what it creates, because if we talk about separation, we know that separation is going to create the fourth illusion. So the third illusion, the idea of separation, is the biggest single stumbling block to our living the lives of peace, harmony, and happiness for which we say we have dreamed. We experience this one every day. We see others in pain and we do not feel it. We see the world in trouble, and we do not heal it. We perceive people, places, and things as if they were separate from us and treat them that way. We would never treat the earth, our possessions, and certainly not other people the way that we do if we thought that those people and those things were ourselves and we were them. If we thought we were doing to ourselves what we do to others, many, many, perhaps most of our behaviors would fall away. And what does that say? I mean, we know that there is a common golden rule. Do unto others as you would do unto yourself, you know? So, if you would want someone to share with you, should you not want them, yourself, to share with them? And that's one of the illusions of separation. There is an illusion of separation, but we're not separate. We're all one. We're one another. We're each, you know? I came, I saw, and there was I. And that leads us into the fourth illusion. Insufficiency. Insufficiency. That there's not enough time. There's not enough money. There's not enough food. There aren't enough jobs to go around. We think there is not enough to go around to make us happy. All we have to do is share. People just don't understand that because there is more than enough on this planet. Neil was saying that 653 children die every hour of hunger. When I can sit in a restaurant with a group of friends and watch all of the food go back to the kitchen that wasn't eaten on those plates and it's thrown in the garbage. So there is something to your parents saying, you know how many hungry children there are in the world? You know? That's what my mother used to say. Eat that food off your plate, girl. But that's why I'm big like I am today, because I be stuffing. Oh, the illusion of insufficiency. Because we have thought of ourselves as separate from our Creator and separate from each other, we have concluded that there is not enough of everything to go around. Before we enter into the illusion of separation, we had the direct experience that there is enough. There is always enough. Yet, when more than one of us has to split whatever it is we are looking at, in that moment, we get to imagine that our portion is not enough. This is an illusion, pure and simple. First, a thing can't be insufficient when who I am wants and needs nothing. But even if I imagine that I did want and need something, I would have to imagine that there was more than one of us, more than one of me, in order to conclude that there was not enough for me. It is easy to see now how one illusion builds upon another. Without the first three illusions, the fourth illusion would be impossible. And without the fourth illusion, the fifth illusion would be impossible as well. And that fifth illusion is requirement. Requirement. There is not enough to go around, so you are required to do what it takes to live the life you yearn to live. Okay? You're required to do something. There's not enough food, enough money. If we only meet certain requirements, you know, we'll have enough. So the fifth illusion. There is only one thing that I need about if I engage in the illusion that there is not enough. I would have to think that it is possible for me to have enough. And that there is something I can do to make sure that I do. There is something that having enough requires. There must be something I can be or do or have in order to qualify for sufficiency. All I have to do is figure out what that requirement is. Oh, and by the way, because I imagine that I am required by life to be, do, and have certain things in order to have the stuff of which there is not enough, I have gotten into the habit of requiring you to have certain things as well. If you want some of the things that I have, like love and power and money or any of the things of which there is not enough. Thus, a system of pay up or get out has been set up by the human race. And not just in commerce either. this scenario plays itself out across the human landscape, and it all derives from this fifth illusion, the illusion that requirement exists. The sixth illusion, judgment. If you don't meet the requirements, guess who's going to be judged? You know, the requirements, you're the wrong skin color, you're the wrong gender, you're the wrong religion, you got the wrong income, therefore, you know, you're judged. Judgment exists, the logical judgment in the universe is impeccable. If we accept and embrace as true the first five illusions, for if there is such a thing as requirement, how will we know if anyone has met the requirement? A system of judgment must be put in place so that this determination can be made. Based on this logic, we have created in our mind a creator who judges us, and we have created in our life on earth a judgment system, or what we sometimes call a justice system, to make sure in both instances that the requirement has been met for us to receive enough of the stuff of which there is not enough. Shame on us. In that case, God, we imagine that this means a place in heaven, you know? So you're required to do certain things so that you can go to heaven. You have to meet certain requirements. God only knows what that requirement is. However, it comes from religion to religion, and it changes from each of those religions to the next religion, from time to time and from place to place. Presumably, it changes from planet to planet as well. This can all get very confusing, but it does keep the human race on its toes. Unfortunately, not with regard to what people do, but at least with regard to how much they worry about what they have done. The seventh illusion, condemnation. Condemnation. Where is my seventh illusion? In my notes. We talk about prayer and meditation. We teach what we have to learn. We don't teach what we have already mastered. We are imperfect messengers. The best dancer knows what grace every stumble creates. We are perfectly imperfect. Been judged and graded all my life. When we feel we made it, someone has moved the finish line. So, of course, if there is a system of judgment in place, there must be a reward for those who are judged to have met the requirement and a punishment for those who have not. Neil says, thus we have come up with the idea that condemnation exists. This has been very useful for him in his own life. Since we imagine that God condemns us for not meeting needs he never had and for not giving him things he never required, we imagine that we should be able to do the same with our neighbors as well. So, we have joined in creating a very judgmental society which condemns people with impunity, sometimes sentencing them to death and using God as our justification for doing so. It is God's law, they say. We tell ourselves, others tell us. We hear it on the TV. It is God's law. We hear it in church. It is God's law, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Such a law was never devised by God, our Creator. But that doesn't matter for any of us. Our illusion allows us to think that such a law was devised. So there you go. That's the illusion of condemnation. And people do it every day. And so do I to a certain degree. That moves us right into the eighth illusion. Conditionality. Illusion number eight. There is no condition in the universe in which the isness does not exist. The isness is just that, what is. And what is simply is under all conditions. That is, there is no condition under which it is not. Conditionality, therefore, does not exist as the inherent nature of things. Nonetheless, we imagine that it does. For if condemnation exists, then it seems that there must be some condition under which we are not okay. That condition is announced and revealed when a judgment is made as to whether or not we have met the requirement to receive enough of the stuff of which there is an insufficiency. One illusion follows another, creating a matrix of interweaving imaginings, none of which have anything to do with the ultimate reality. Neil says, in his own life, he has used the illusion of conditionality as an excuse to add conditions to love. I love you if has been a big game he has played, and hey, he played it because he believed that this is the game God has been playing with him. Only when he realized that conditionality does not exist as part of God, and therefore not a part of life, nor as a part of him, was he able to begin to step away from the illusion. He was then able to live with it, but not within it, which is an entirely different matter. When he lived within the illusion, he thought for sure that superiority exists. Superiority is the ninth illusion. A thing cannot be superior to itself, and if there is only one of us, because, you know, we're many aspects of that one creator. Superiority does not exist. Neil says his own commentary on this illusion is very painful for him. He had imagined himself to be superior to many others in many moments of his life, far too many for him to feel comfortable with himself, far too many even today, even though he knows better. Yeah, buddy, this illusion has gripped him and gripped me and gripped you. I mean, really gripped us in a powerful way. It has been the most difficult one which to step away from. It has been the hardest to release. Judgment, condemnation, conditionality, superiority, brother, have they been a part of all of our lives? Yet the master entertains none of these illusions as part of her reality. The master, who we all are, and what we all are, and by definition eliminates the possibility of superiority from our single unified expression and experience. The master looks down on no one. The master will not judge anyone and neither condemn them. The master loves without condition not only other people, but life. life itself and everything in life. For the master knows that everything in life is in him. Since he is that which life is, and there is nothing that life is that he is not. This is not a small understanding. It changes everything. It makes anger and hurt and disappointment and revenge and judgment and condemnation and superiority impossible. Those things are only possible in the world of our own illusion. And the world of our illusion is only possible if we are ignorant of it. That is, if we know our world is an illusion, then that which is illusory about it disappears. And what is seen is what is real. What is what is. The tenth illusion is the illusion of ignorance. It's the illusion that ignorance exists. This is the illusion which says that you do not know that all the rest of this is an illusion. Not only that you do not know about what you cannot know, that is because you are ignorant of the truth of what is. Yet, this ignorance is an illusion. It's not real. Were ignorance real, then what is real would not be real. For you could not know it. And the only thing that is real is something you can know. By definition, the unknowable is not real. It cannot be. All things that are real are knowable. Remember that always. All things that are real are ultimately knowable. They have to be, otherwise they cannot be real. Therefore, ignorance does not exist. It is an illusion. You may be thinking right now, as I conclude this reading, this commentary, that you do not know half of what I'm talking about here. But you do. At some deep level, you know what I'm talking about. You not only do know, but you know that you do. So you may say, I don't know what is that you're talking about today, but you know, deep down inside, you know that you know what I'm talking about. So let's grasp this truth now and embrace it, making it part of your here and now experience. What you do, with all that has been said, is grab hold of it. And when you do, you take the first step on the road to mastery, the first step on the road or the path to communion with your Creator. And the title of his book is Communion with God. Now, before we close, I'm going to take a couple of minutes to actually read some stuff from, Masters in Energy by Adonis St. Germain. Show you how these masters, they think a lot. And Adonis, he's channeled through Jeffrey Hoffe, so he's an angelic energy. The master understands that life is an illusion. You are living in a very real illusion, you and everyone in the world around you. Now, I know that just the term illusion makes it sound almost invalid, but it is a very real illusion and it is very valid. It is actually the manifestation of your beliefs, your desires, and your choices. It is all around you, but it is also an illusion. At times, you get so caught up in that reality of this illusion that you come to believe that it is inflexible, that it cannot be moved, shifted, and changed. But it is an illusion, and therefore it can be shifted, changed, expanded, anything, at any time. What you are seeing outside of you is simply the reflection of the internal relationship between yourself and you, as well as the relationship between yourself and the outer world. We're going to get into some of the magic of this later on, but for now, understand that it is all an illusion. Therefore, you are not locked into it. It can change and be changed at any time. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, this is the month of Ramadan. So may I say, Ramadan Mubarak to all our practicing Muslims out there. Wow, that was nice. I want you to know that if you do want to attend Neil Donald Walsh's retreat, the retreat is, like I said, this month, the month of May, on the 22nd and the 23rd. And it starts, I believe, 7, 8, 9, 10. It starts at 10 o'clock our time. And I think they get up at 7 o'clock in the morning in California so that they can do this broadcast and it can be listened to, this retreat, because it's a live retreat. They can do it around the world. And so that's why they do a time slot, you know, 7:30 Pacific time, so that as many people around the world, and they have people from around the world listening and attending this retreat, and I found it fascinating. And I think, what are they saying? This coming retreat will be about the what is it? Let me see. I wrote it down. I wrote down the title of the retreat because it was interesting. It's called The Agenda of the Soul. And each one of us has one of those if we believe we do. And this will be interesting to find out what the agenda of your soul is in case you want to know. So I would say hang out with me this month. The last Saturday and Sunday of the month. You take care. Love you good. It's been real. I had a good time today. And, yeah, I was a little bit loopy. Only because, hey, I feel good today. When I start acting loopy, it's because I feel good. See, well, third Sunday, you'll have our guest speaker, and she'll be doing her time slot, and I'm going to be announcing it real soon. You take care. Talk to you later. Thank you.